So thank you very much for assembling here. I see one or two familiar faces from this morning. So there will be a few slides you see at the start of this that will be familiar to you as well, but I just wanted to give a little bit of context about what I'm into, what my kind of thing is. So my name is Rob McLeod. I'm originally from Canada, currently living in Germany. In about a month, moving to Belgium to join people like Andrew. Are there any other Belgians in here? Awesome. So we'll be neighbors soon. You guys as well? Awesome. You guys are outnumbering people here, maybe. So over the last years, I've become really passionate about finding ways that integral theory fits into a conventional primary school education setting. So typically, I work with 8, 9, 10-year-olds, grade 3, grade 4, grade 5. And for me, what's interesting about integral theory in education is when it works. So I wanted to start off by just talking about what this is not. So the use of integral in education for me is not about rushing kids through their development or trying to fast-track them to teal. And it's also not like a greenhouse, like not trying to artificially grow and force development when it's not there and it's not ready. For me, the work that I like to do is to respect where someone is at developmentally and honor that, tune into where they are, and then hand them tools so that they can experience the like widest version of where they are at. So the widest bandwidth an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old can have. And for me, the game behind what I do in education is a lot like engineering a design app or an art app on the iPad. So I don't know if you feel you don't have a lot of artistic skill. I don't feel that I do. But when I've played with design apps on an iPad, all you have to do is move your finger and something really aesthetically incredible happens. And that's because the app's been engineered and designed that way, that whatever you do with it, something really cool is going to come out of it. And that's what I've attempted to do with the writing system I've been developing over the last few years, particularly for creative writing, storytelling with children. Hopefully giving them, again, just this idea of the widest bandwidth of what it means to be an 8-year-old and not trying to rush them up to being something older or something more developed. So I'm actually going to attempt to do very little of the speaking because really I want you guys to have like fun with this and play with this. I forgot to mention this in my elevator pitch, but I had a really difficult student last year named Kobe, and the largest compliment I got from him all year was, you know what, Mr. McLeod? Writing doesn't suck anymore with you. So I'm kind of hoping that if you had fears or anxieties about needing to do creative writing, that you will find this easy and seamless today. So the first thing I would like you to do, and we can reconfigure the room basically for the remainder of this session, I would like you to find either 2 or 3 other monkeys to be in a group with, because you are going to talk through your story development with this partner or this small group of 3. So I will give you guys 30 seconds. And when you have found your group and you've reconfigured yourselves however you want, take up as much space as you want. I think you can sit on these. You can sit on the floor, whatever works best for you for a while. Get into a group of 2 or 3, and then we can start the process. So find some people you'd like to work with. Move so that you can speak with them.
Sorry, what is the task right now?
Just to get a partner or a group of 3.
And?
And just sit there, and then I'll tell you what comes next.
And you will.
Yeah.
Okay.
It might work just with the 2 of you to speak back and forth about the ideas, just in Dutch. Okay. All right. And as I introduce the group to this morning, one of my attention getters with my class is the waterfall. So if I go, shh, You guys go, and that quickly quiets a room because it just sounds like everyone's like shushing you out. So, waterfall, beautiful. So the first thing that I would like you guys to do, maybe you know the people you're with, maybe you don't. I'd like to give each of you 30 seconds. We'll make this fairly quick, but just in your group, just share with each other what comes up for you when you hear creative writing and get to know the people in your group a little bit. Yeah. All right, waterfall. Cool. That's like the fastest I've seen a group at the conference go quiet yet. So thank you so much. I appreciate that. So I'm going to give you like 3 minutes of insight into how I would launch a creative writing unit with my class. For me, what I've discovered is there's two muscles in writing, so show me both of your muscles, your writing muscles. First, there's the ideas muscle. Give it a little kiss. Then there is the words muscle. Give it a little kiss. Now, both muscles actually need to be developed. And if you're like me, when you went to school, your words muscle got developed a lot through spelling, grammar, punctuation, vocabulary, all these sorts of things. You probably got a lot of marks on that. However, as I say, well, I'll say this to an integral crowd, I wouldn't say this to 9-year-olds, but I don't read Ken Wilber for his words, I read Wilber for his ideas. The whole point of writing anything is to communicate ideas between people. So if you don't have like ideas that are juicy and like flowing out of you, ready to explode onto a page, sitting down and trying to force words onto a page doesn't really work. So if I have an 8-week writing unit with my students, I'll spend 4 weeks where our pens don't even touch the paper, and we'll spend 4 weeks building up our ideas muscle so that when we actually sit down to write, that flows so much faster. I'm hoping to give you at least a small taste of that experience in this workshop this afternoon. So to begin with, this will actually just go back to just you. I'm going to give you 1 minute in silence. And we're just going to start with some ideas of just things that you want. These can be as egocentric or cosmocentric as you wish. But I'm just going to give you guys 1 minute to yourselves. No judgment. Just make a list of things that you want. I'll give you guys a minute now.
At the moment.
Yeah. At the moment, in general, just if you want it, that's fair game. Thank you. 20 more seconds. No judgment, just anything that pops in your head that you want. Everything's fair game. If you want the integral challenge, you can try for an egocentric want, an ethnocentric want, a world-centric want. And whichever want you're on right now, just finish writing that one. And I'd like you to look through that list. You don't really need to know what we're going to do with this yet, but just pick one of those wants that we'll use to inspire some ideas for our writing. So look through your list. Maybe there's one that instantly jumps out to you. Just circle, underline, star one of those wants. If you've got your want, just put your hand up so I know that everyone's on. Cool. So here's where the process begins now. Let's create a character around the want that you just chose. I won't get super integral around the idea of like an impulse and then stuff that organizes around an impulse. So we're going to create a character around the want, and we won't look at this from the level of there are impulses in the world or in the universe and there are people or groups who want them. But we'll just start with this idea of there's something you want, and we're going to create a character and a story around this want. As a heads up, your character can be as magical and as fantasy-based as you possibly wish. You're welcome to do realistic fiction, a realistic character, anything on that spectrum from pure fantasy to banal reality is fair game. Don't feel like you have to have the character created yet. We're just about to start doing that. The first thing that I can teach a YouTube generation of children now is the idea that your character needs to be consistent. So the way that they act, the way that they speak, those things need to be consistent throughout your story. There's nothing more annoying in 2018 than an inconsistent YouTube video that stops and buffers and interrupts what's happening in the video. The same is true for your character. So if your character is like really smart on one page and then not on another, and then Superman in one thing but then can't lift 5 kilograms in the next one, your reader really, it's like watching an annoying buffering YouTube video. So we want to create this sense of consistency in the character and really give this a sense of a real person.
Yep. Is a character like a symbol also, or it could be anything I want?
Right now we're talking about the idea of character as a person.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, thanks for that clarification. Okay. So here are the things that are consistent within a character. Skills and types. Skills, if you're integrally into the lingo, you can think of this as lines and levels, and types, like types from the Aqual map.
Types from the what?
Types from the Aqual map.
Ah, the Aqual map. Okay, yeah.
So I usually start with these four with my students, introducing four different lines or skills, as I call them, with my students. And we get this idea that, like, some people are better than other people at kinesthetic things. Some people are better than others at cognitive tasks. Some people are better than others at interpersonal situations. Some are better than others at processing, acknowledging, dealing with their emotions. I'll just give you a glimpse into what we do in the classroom. We won't go to this depth in this hour together. But for example, with kinesthetic, I would actually take a lesson or two with my students and say, okay, what I mean by kinesthetic is the character's strength. their control and balance, their flexibility, their endurance, their speed. And then I get them to tell me, what does low-level kinesthetic skill look like? What does medium-level kinesthetic skill look like? And what does high-level kinesthetic skill look like? And can you name characters from movies or books that you know that would show a low level of kinesthetic skill? Can you tell me characters from books, TV, movies that would show a medium level of kinesthetic skill? Can you tell me other characters you know that would show a high level of kinesthetic skill? And we would go through in detail for each of these over about a week or so. But for today, we're going to keep it pretty simple, and I'm just going to kind of assume that you can intuitively get this. But here's your instructions with your group. To keep it simple for today, I want you to pick one of those that your character will be probably medium to high in. And I want you to pick one of these that your character is more low to medium in. So there's a bit of a dynamic that they might be the really sporty person but lower in cognitive, or really high in cognitive but lower in kinesthetic, much higher in interpersonal but lower in kinesthetic, these sorts of things. So within your group, I'm going to give you 3 minutes to just talk through with your group. So the character that's starting to form.
So do we have like a joint character or
an
individual
character?
No, thanks
again for the... Thanks. So you are creating your own character for your own story, but just brainstorming ideas with the others. Okay. So you have a want, and we're starting to bring a character out of the ether, out of the invisibleness. And we're just starting by like, okay, with this want that I have, what would be an interesting combination for a character who wants that? Is that super abstract for this late on a Friday afternoon?
It is.
It is?
Cool. We go for it.
I do this with my class. 5 if you're like, totally know what to do, shut up, bearded guy. 3 if you're like, I think I've got this, if you like just swing by and check in with us. And a 1 if you're like, I have no clue what this has to do with algebra, you lost me like 30 minutes ago. Where are you guys at in terms of your numbers? Okay, cool. I'll pass around, and if you have questions, ask me. For right now, just choose 1 to be higher, 1 to be lower, and talk through it. Warm in the sun. Yeah.
I will cry in everything for my character.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. For each of your own characters, for your own stories. Yeah. Sorry, I haven't made that explicit. Yes. You're writing your own stories, creating your own characters with their own.
But I don't like the idea of the cognitive combined with the black approach.
Do you have a character?
All right, and waterfall. Next step, if you're familiar with the Enneagram, this is just the Enneagram for kids. If you're not familiar with the Enneagram, here's how I present this to students. Your character has a desire. Now, this is different from what we just did with their skills of high kinesthetic and maybe low cognitive and medium interpersonal skills. Your character could have that same report card of kinesthetic skills, cognitive skills, and interpersonal, but you'd have 9 very different characters. Let's just go with high kinesthetic, low cognitive. That character would be very different if they're always wanting to be correct, compared to if they're always wanting to be helpful, compared to if they're always wanting to be impressive, or unique, or knowledgeable, or certain, stimulated, in control, or harmonious. So what I'd like you to do now in your group, look at that report card or constellation you just gave your character of their kinesthetic, cognitive skills, interpersonal skills, emotional skills, and see which one of these 9 would be a really unique fit to really bring out something interesting in your character. So again, I'll give you guys about 3 minutes to just work through these with the people in your group. And if you need help, yeah, to choose one of those. Yeah.
Can you choose more than one?
Yes. You can play with more than one. I would still pick one as the main thing that they go to.
So, I
Yeah, I would say their fixation or their pattern, the thing they always go to, yeah.
It's not like a real person.
Okay.
All right, and a quiet waterfall this time. Cool. Give me a five if you're like, yep, totally picked one. I've got the type, the pattern that my character kind of falls to. Cool. And if you haven't picked one or any of these you've kind of maybe not caught up to, when I'm walking around, just feel free to give me a yell.
What you fall to?
Sorry?
When you say the character falls to, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, like, this is sort of their pattern. Like, 9 times out of 10, when something happens, let's say this character wants things to turn out right or be correct, so that first one. So it's kind of their habituated pattern. It's the thing that unconsciously they do. Yeah. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Cool. We're about to bring our characters to life, but I'm going to give you one more brainstorming piece here. So if you're a fan of the quadrants, you'll probably recognize this. I get my kids to talk about this character. We haven't even started to plan their story yet. We're nowhere near the actual story. We're still just developing this character. I'm going to say you can kind of skip the top two just due to time today. What I'd like you to tune into is tell me about where and when this character exists. What's the world like around your character? What's their culture? What are their groups like? What's their family like, or their team like, or their country like, their tribe like? And what are some important relationships that they have? So if you kind of play just with these bottom four, so like culture, what groups do they belong to? What are important relationships that they have? And then where and when is this story taking place? I'll give you about 6 minutes, so if you can kind of have roughly 2 minutes apiece, just to kind of say whatever comes up for you within this. Cool? And if you need help, I'm walking around. Your choice, yeah.
Okay.
You're welcome to. You don't have to, but you're welcome to.
We have to discuss this.
Instruction to do this together.
And the
Saturn is 2018. Where in northern Europe, Sweden and Germany.
So my character living in the future or in the
how you guys doing
cool.
That's awesome. Cool.
I'm a journalist of the Correspondent. It's an online journal.
How's this going for you guys? Is it a lot happening?
For
him,
it's a me.
Cool. It's the unfortunate part because normally I would give the students much longer than I'm giving you guys, but I'm just hoping to take you through a very quick version of what I would do over like 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. 8, 9, 10 years old. Yeah. And we would take a lot more time to explain it to me than I'm doing with you guys today. I'm making a lot of assumptions about how familiar you are with some of these things. So I apologize if it feels rushed today. Trying to give you a little taste of what I do.
Very diverse and cultural identities and meeting forms. And the contract is very much nature and natural principles that taking on network and whatever happens.
One more minute.
Roger. I started mine and the point I couldn't see the connection, but now I see it was a synthesis who has quite a cognitive impairment. Very low in terms of data presence.
All right, and waterfall. I just wanted to share one of the comments from the group at the back. Normally, I would give students a lot longer than I'm giving you guys today, so I apologize that there's not that extended time to like say things and then forget it and start over again and like really go through this process. I'm sorry, I do feel I'm kind of giving you the sped up version of this today. It's not you, it's me. I'm sharing something with you that would happen over 4 weeks with a class in 17 minutes or so. So you should never judge someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. So our character is almost ready to enter their story with their skills that they have, kinesthetic skills, cognitive skills, emotional, interpersonal skills. They've got a pattern that we've chosen for them. We've got a bit of a sense of where they exist in time and place and how they're connected to other people. What I would like you to do now is just actually take a moment with your eyes closed and to think about what it would be like to be this person. And I want you to focus on three main things. One, how would this person be thinking if they were in this room right now at this conference? And if I'm messing with your timeline that they're from 4,000 years ago, sorry. But what would it be like for them to be in this room? What would they be thinking? How would they interact with the other people in this room? What might they say? How might they speak? And how would they move through this room? So how do they move? How would they relate to each other? And what would they be thinking? I'll give you a moment to let that sink in.
What was the third one, Rob? How they move.
So how they move, how they interact with other people, and what they would be thinking. And if you're up for playing with each other for 2 minutes, in a moment I'll ask you to open your eyes. You can stand up and you can be your character moving through this room, interacting with other people as they would interact, and trying to think about how they would be thinking about this situation right now. And if you don't feel like playing, that's cool. You can just hang off at the side of the room. But if you're up for playing and pretending you're 9 years old, your teacher's allowing you to do this. For the next 2 minutes, I invite the characters into this room to interact with each other before we put them into a story. So you're welcome to open your eyes, and if you'd like to play, have fun being your character for 2 minutes.
So very nice to be in this group. And,
very open. Very friendly. So lively to see from an outsider's perspective. If you and your characters could find your way back to where you were, that would be amazing.
Your classes.
Yes.
Important. They're in there. Oh, yes. No, they're not.
All right. So given that we have roughly 30 minutes left, I am a little bit nervous because I want to now get through the 5 parts of our story structure, and I'm concerned that it might be too rushed.
It is.
It is. We could stop there, I think, for today. But if you're up for playing, we'll see how far we get within this. So we're now getting ready to write a story. And the most important thing that happens in a story is that a character changes. But I found my students have always really struggled with the idea of what changes. It's a really abstract idea that a person would change over the course of a story. So often they just end up rewriting Star Wars, or they just end up rewriting Harry Potter. So I want to like give them access into an idea of what changes. So we go back to this idea of their skill levels. Those kinesthetic skills, cognitive skills, interpersonal skills. Something that was low might become medium by the end of the story. A skill that was medium, their interpersonal skills maybe, by the end of the story become high-level interpersonal skills. Or maybe there's something about their type pattern. So maybe they always want to be correct at the start of the story, but by the end of the story they're okay with making some mistakes and they don't beat themselves up. Or at the start of the story, they're always wanting to be too helpful. But by the end of the story, they're willing to just step back and give people their space. I'm going to let you choose which one of those you would like to play with, whether it's a skill change or whether it's a type change.
Can I do both?
You're welcome to do both. That's for the A-level students in the class. Hands up if you're familiar with Joseph Campbell's Hero's Journey.
Yeah.
Cool. I've made the like child-friendly five-stage hero's journey with the setup, the path, the challenge, the transformation, and the wind down. But I think it's way more useful to go through these one at a time. I'm unfortunately going to keep this to about 3 minutes each. This is really not enough time for you guys to brainstorm this, but it's at least enough to get in contact with this, because I do want you to have that moment of getting to write today.
Can you go just 1 second?
Yep. So here are five stages. The setup is at the beginning of the story, moves into the stage of the path, then the challenge, the transformation, and the wind down. And I'm going to introduce each of them one at a time because they feed into the next one. So the setup is where your story begins. Your character is in their ordinary world, a place that's familiar to them, a place that they know. And now bring back to mind that want that we circled at the start or underlined. Your character has a want, and that want wasn't in their world at first. That want has somehow come crashing into their ordinary world. They were just a normal person doing their own normal thing, and then all of a sudden, they started to want this thing. And you are welcome to go back and change your want now if you wish, but my hunch is go with the one that you picked the first time. This is really brief, so however you guys would like to use the time, if you'd like to talk this through with the people in your group, go for it. Or if you'd like to be quiet and just work through it in your own head, you're welcome to do that too. But I'll give each of these five stages of the story 3 minutes each to just brainstorm for now, okay? Cool. 3 minutes, have fun. I think there is an advantage to going quickly today because you don't have enough time to stop and really think about it. So there is an advantage into going quickly today, but I also wish I could give that experience of just having time for this to marinate and see what arrives. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. All right, I know that's not enough time, but I also trust that the story is going to start unwinding in your head as we move through this. So the next step is the path. You've now set up the story. The character all of a sudden wants something. Where do they go to get what they want? And what challenges do they face in that new place? They've left what they've known. They have to go somewhere else to get what they want. Where did they go to get what they want? And what challenges do they face? Have fun in these 3 minutes. So your character has started down their path. And at some point on this path, there is the challenge. There's some final challenge that stands in their way of having what they want. And they have to change in order to get over this final challenge to get what they want. So what is the final challenge that stands in their way? The challenge that they cannot overcome unless they change. So one of their skills goes from low to medium, or medium to high, or something about their personality type has to change in order for them to overcome this final challenge that's standing in the way between them and what they want. This is the final challenge. They must. Yeah. This is what causes them to go into their abyss. right? Your character has now faced the challenge that stands in the way between them and what they want. And they have to change to overcome this challenge, to get what they want. This next step is the actual transformation. And there's two parts to this. The character or the hero has to decide to make that change. And how do they overcome the challenge and get their want? So how do they decide to finally make that change? And how does that change lead to them getting over this challenge and getting what they want? Finally, your hero has decided to change. They've overcome this final challenge that was in their way, and they got what they want. Now we enter the wind down. So how has transforming and getting their want changed them in their ordinary world? So in almost every story, the character returns back to where the story started. But they're a very different person at the end of the book compared to the start. How could you show this way that they are different? By putting them back into that familiar, ordinary world where your story started. How is transforming and getting their want change them in their ordinary world when they return? As frustrating as it might be, I invite you to set your pens down for just a moment. So we've now walked through the five stages of the story, and we've thoroughly worked our ideas muscle. It's like bulging and massive at the moment, and now it's time to shift into training the words muscle. I introduce this to my students by first having them grab any book that they want, draw two lines to make the four quadrants, and I have them read the story. And every single sentence in every single book we've tried this with falls into one of the four quadrants. That sentence is describing the thoughts and feelings of characters. That sentence is describing dialogue or the relationship between characters. That sentence is describing actions or the things that are doing them, including people, and either describing the setting or the context. And we've yet to find a single sentence that doesn't fit into one of those four.
Can you give a quick example?
Sure. So typically, the students that I work with, they'll often really heavily stay up here. So it'll be, Andrew was running, and then he kicked the ball, and then he ran after the ball, and then he jumped over the hedge, and then got into a car, and then this. We go, okay, cool. But was Andrew excited when he was doing that? Was that fun for him? Was he nervous about this? Was he fearful when he was running away? Was Andrew connected to anybody else that was happening in this scene? And where was this happening? You said he was kicking a ball. I'm guessing it's outside, but it really matters if this is like in the middle of a church during a wedding. That totally changes the description of that action and that thing. So, again, this isn't much time to play with this, but we're just about to put pen to paper to start the very first line of your story. Now, I'll come back to this slide in a moment, but I'd like you to think back to the setup where that want came crashing into your hero's world, and I'd like you to just take 30 seconds with the person beside you and explain to them what the first minute of your story is going to be like. If this was a movie and we pressed play, what's the first minute of your story? Yep.
Just a clarification on that last slide. Did you say good sentences typically touch all four, or is it just the objective to just not touch one?
Thanks. I didn't go into that level of detail. Most sentences hit one.
Yeah.
And then what I teach when we start building our words muscle is great sentences hit two or three or four.
Okay, two or more.
Two or more makes for strong sentences. So, turn with the person beside you. I'll give you 1 minute in total, 30 seconds each. Describe the first minute of your story. What's going on the first page of your story? And switch, if you haven't already switched.
So
five, four, three, two, one, last waterfall of the day.
Wow!
So I could actually feel like the energy shift where you guys are ready to write your story. So I'm going to give you, or you, I should say you have, 6 minutes to begin actually bringing your character into the world of their story now. I'll leave this up there. You're welcome to reference it, to play with it. As you write each sentence, which one would, in the most interesting way, reveal the next sentence of your story? Which one of those quadrants would really share what you're overflowing with and ready to write in your story? So I'll give you guys 6 minutes, or you can actually start writing your story now. For now, if you want to, you're welcome to keep chatting, but what I said is you could actually begin to write the first chapter of your story. Yeah. I think people are feeling more alive to work through this still before putting it to paper. I think so, yeah.
And then you find the solution because it's somewhere else, it's not in your cell, it's not in the blocks. And then you're up, you can read that.
Yeah, and it's kind of the next thing I want to do with this is to bring it into adult groups more for that exact reason, that any time I've had adults do it, exactly what you just said is where we end up.
Yes, but have you already done it?
With just a few small groups of adults. Yeah.
Basically, the same structure. Mm-hmm.
I asked for permission. I want to use the GT.
Yeah.
I use a lot of education with teenagers and teachers. Mm-hmm. I work with kind of
and what I found interesting is as soon as I've introduced the word, kids already get it. Like, when I introduce that, like, kinesthetic and cognitive and interpersonal, almost every time we go back to the Simpsons, and it's like, so what's Homer? And it's like, oh, well, he's low this, low that, low this, medium that, sure. And it's like you've just given them the tool to speak through that they knew, but they would never be able to articulate the Enneagram or multiple lines of abilities and these kinds of things. Well, that's reaffirming to me that you've gotten it. So.
For the founders of this, they stopped calling it a patient as they call it client from him on, because he approached clients or adults after he knew how to work with kids. So when he non-directed, inclusive.
Let's talk about this in 5 minutes. I'm just going to wrap this up, and then I want to hear from you. Cool, man. All right, and as the last activity, which you've kind of naturally shifted into, I've always found that at the end of a class when we've been doing writing, if students don't have the chance to share what they wrote, there's some like energy that's trapped in the room. So I'd like to use our last 3 minutes with your partner. You can say whatever you want, but this is always what I prompt my students with, is what are you working on as a writer? And there's infinite ways that you could answer that. So with what you did today, what were you working on as a writer? You're welcome to ask that if you wish, or just share however you'd like to use these last 3 minutes. You should listen to that in fun. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. All right. Cool. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you need me, clap once. If you need me, clap twice. Awesome. Oh, you're well trained for the waterfall. That's awesome. Really quickly, since we don't have time for a proper debrief, I'll do 3 quick check-ins. The first one, sort of fun or enjoyable. 5, that was a cool way to spend 75 minutes. 3, that was all right. 1, I couldn't wait till this was over. How do you guys feel? Cool. In terms of insightful or possibly useful for you, either in terms of a shadow work perspective, which we didn't get into, or just, hey, I like creative writing. That was got me off to a good start. 5, super useful. 3, yeah, kind of. 1, zero use whatsoever. Cool. And 5, what I would say about creative writing now is dramatically different than what I said 74 minutes ago. No, it's kind of the same. Or 1, no, the exact same as what I would have said before.
I will never not think that about creative writing.
Cool.
The word creative writing.
The very last thing I'll say is, first of all, just thank you. This is the largest group of adults I've shared this with yet. I'm somewhat sorry that this was condensed to 75 minutes. I would love to spend a day with you walking through this process, giving it its proper maturation time. Myself and a friend who hates integral theory started a podcast called Reinventing Education. If you're interested, feel free to check it out. We're just getting it up and running. We're 3 episodes in. We've started with the question, what is a school education for? And we're basically building 100 episodes off of answering that question. So if you're interested in the kind of stuff we did today, we're kind of trying to give a reason why that would be a worthwhile 8-week lesson in English class. And thanks to my wonderful wife for creating the seamless green to teal and school sideways forward-pointing arrow. So thank you so much for being here.
I want to appreciate, and I really find it great that you used the whole Wilbur integral model in your writing.
I'm really curious to see what 9-year-olds who have this wiring in their head at this age, what happens to them later on. Cool. Thank you so much, guys. Enjoy your day.